is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. And so, Cody, this is probably a little bit less eventful of media day than the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was thinking back. I started in 2014 covering the Bulls, who've been the first media day. I was with them for a full season. Is that the same for you as well?
No, I was there for 13.
Okay, but were you at 13 media day?
I was.
I don't remember the storylines of that one.
That was after Derek had missed his first full season with the ACL, and then
the comeback. Coming.
Right, and so the last
one more eventful though.
Well, right, so 14 media day, which was Tibbs last year. That was Rose had missed most of the last season with the meniscus, and so he was talking about coming back.
And 15, they just added Pau Gasol.
They signed Pau Gasol. They didn't get Melo that summer. Nico came over from Spain. Summer of 15 was the Derrick Rose free agency comments on media day, so that was kind of a thing.
Already eyeing a contract 2 years in advance.
Right, and this was right, and then this was also like kind of, is there tension between Rose and Butler, because this was a season after Butler kind of had his breakout year and became an all-star. And then last year, obviously, was the three alphas, and like that whole spectacle. Like, this is the first time we actually saw Dwayne Wade wearing a jersey that wasn't a Miami Heat jersey.
Yeah, like, and as we said in our previous podcast, that we recorded late Sunday night, most of the Bulls drama got taken care of on Sunday with the Dwayne Wade buyout and Nico Mirotić re-signing on a 2-year, $27 million deal with that team option for the second year. So this was pretty much about Zach LaVine, 22-year-old guard, centerpiece of the trade for Jimmy Butler. And when's Zach LaVine going to come back, and is he going to sign a contract extension by the October 16th deadline, or is he going to sign one in restricted free agency next summer when the Bulls will have rights to retain him if they don't lock him up here soon. So, Zach LaVine, probably, most certainly, almost absolutely out for opening night. The Bulls didn't officially rule him out, but John Paxson said that's a safe bet.
He said it was a pretty safe bet he doesn't play opening night. Like, it sounds like he has, you know, they said, LaVine said when he, because he was one of the three guys, and the three guys that spoke at the podium as far as players were the three guys that are from the Jimmy Butler trade: Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn. So when during LaVine's session, he said the doctors told him 9 months, and so 9 months from February would put him at November, and that's not even for, he gets to return, that's when he would get cleared for full contact potentially.
Yeah, that's not like playing in a game yet, so.
So then once he gets cleared for contact, then he can't just go right back up into playing in a game the next day after he gets cleared. He has to have some time to do 5-on-5. And this kind of, you know, we had been saying the whole time we think it's going to be December or January, so that would be about right in line with that.
Yeah, Pax went out of his way to kind of emphasize that you don't just go back to the court as great of an athlete as Zach LaVine is and just start dunking and playing in game action. So he sounded like it would take several weeks to get back to game form, even after he's completely cleared and everything. And I guess the other thing to note is LaVine said that his measurements and times are better for the drills that he's been doing recently in rehab. Some of the similar drills, like 10-meter sprint and these three cone
vertical
drills
stuff.
And vertical leap, that he was comparing them recently to his, it sounded like pre-draft
combine stuff.
Stuff in 2014 before he entered the NBA, and saying they're actually better. So I don't know if we should say Zach LaVine claimed that or said that or what. I'm not certain every single measurement's going to be better at this point, but the point is he's very enthusiastic about this rehab.
Everybody seemed pretty encouraged with his process, and they even talked about, you know, Zach, you know, did talk about how, you know, he acknowledged, and, you know, some reporters, you know, mentioned this to him, just, you know, that after going through what Bulls fans have gone through with Derrick Rose the last several years with his knee injuries, people are a little bit apprehensive of another explosive, high-scoring guard like that coming off a torn ACL. I think the prognosis on this is a little bit more promising than maybe some of the stuff with Rose.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, this is probably where it was at the same point in time for Derek's first return.
Right.
Obviously, everything that happened after that changed the course of how it was viewed from the outside and the inside. But I thought it was worth noting, Zach LaVine said he is not going to change how he plays. He vowed not to change his style whatsoever at all. And it should be noted, his style is being a high flyer, dunking a lot, two-time slam dunk champion. And look, he got a lot better at shooting three-pointers here in probably the last season and a half.
He was at 39% before the injury.
Yeah, that he's played. So, like, I think you can expect Zach LaVine to be Zach LaVine when he is cleared. Now, I thought it interesting, you pointed out these three guys were at the podium, and the NBA's official Twitter account also took a shot it was basically not team picture day, but it was promotional picture day, which you all pose if you're the Bulls players for photos.
For those of you who don't know how media day works, like, obviously part of it is they sit at the podium and talk to people like us and other reporters, but then there's also, like, they record all of the
in-game pump-up music,
like that kind of stuff.
The messages, all the promotional bits they do.
After all the interviews, we were working in the media room, and like over in the other room, we kind of heard somebody yelling, "Get on your feet!" Like clearly, like the players are recording, like all those promos that you see at games, like those are recorded at media day. All the promotional stuff, like the pictures for the game programs, for other stuff like that. So that's where all these photos are taken.
Yeah, so that's why you get some goofiness too and everything. But the Bulls, the NBA Twitter account tweeted out the picture of Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine together and said, "The Bulls are back," which is absolutely hysterical.
That's a Big Cat trademark phrase.
Yes. Shout out
to Big Cat.
That is, that's something that they might have to hat tip him on next time.
They might have to. Whoever Dunn runs the NBA Twitter account listens to Pardon My Take.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. But there's no doubt.
Hopefully they also listen to Locked On Bulls and other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, too.
At every single turn, the Bulls are citing the three guys they got in the Jimmy Butler trade, which it's not, like, surprising. And these are the three guys that need to be really good, because when you give up someone of Jimmy's caliber, you can't afford to swing and miss on two of those guys and set yourself back as an organization, which only time will tell on this rebuild. Regarding that, but like it's like they're going over the top to point out. But between that showing up on the NBA's official Twitter account, the photos together trotting him out there, like every single time Gar and Pax make a point, like about the rebuild, it's tied back. Like they name those three, and then they always throw in with the other young guys we already had. And the Bulls were like, "We're not starting from ground zero, because we already have these three guys." You know what I mean?
I have a very important question for you, Cody.
Okay.
Are Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen the new three alphas?
No. You can't.
They're trying to make that happen. It looks like they're trying to make it happen. That's what it looks like to me.
Alphaship can only happen naturally. You know what I mean? Or, I mean, if they want to go out there and claim that they are, I'm cool with that, because it gives us something
Rondo
to talk
coined
about.
It, so, like, that can be self-proclaimed.
Here's the difference.
I could see Zach LaVine proclaiming them to be the three alphas.
No, these guys, Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler over the last several years, kind of after he ascended to stardom, carry themselves in an entirely different manner than any of these guys. Like, I was struck by just how young Lauri Markkanen is, because he shaved his head kind of down to a crew cut.
He had kind of a buzz cut.
Yeah, buzz cut. And
his hair was a little bit more expansive.
Yeah, when they showed up for introduction after the draft. Like, he's freaking young. Like, this is a baby-faced guy that you're like, this is someone I should run into at a college frat party. And the Bulls are counting on him to turn around the entire organization.
I'm 28, you and I are about the same age, but like it's been like this with me for a while, but this is the first year. My sister was born in 1996. This is the last couple of years you're starting to see NBA draft prospects who are younger than my sister, and I'm just like,
not just that, the Bulls, I'm 29 and the Bulls don't have a player on their roster older than 29. I think
Robin
might
have
me by a few months, because my birthday's in December.
Now that Wade's buyout is done, he's you might be older than any of the...
I gotta come to this realization too.
We're both old, we're washed.
Yeah, that's true. The Bulls, though, are young and athletic, as Fred Hoiberg. It's like they hit every talking point.
This time it's true, though. This time they are young and athletic. Yeah,
they are young, pretty athletic. Much more athletic than they used to be.
They will be more athletic once Zach LaVine is clear to play.
Yeah, that's
like that,
true.
That alone, I think, is going to like triple their athleticism.
I kind of ran into this realization today, though. It was just kind of media member shop talk. Are the Bulls going to be worse at offense or defense this year, and particularly to start the year? And all along, I've relayed my 122 points per game plan. That was under the assumption Dwayne Wade was going to play a few minutes for the Bulls early in the season, and I kind of expected no effort from him on defense. Lauri Markkanen's going to struggle a great deal defensively, no doubt. They do have Robin Lopez anchoring the defense, and he's a quality defensive center. So it just struck me that the Bulls, when the ball tips, they might be far worse at offense until Zach LaVine comes back than defense, because like who's making plays for them on opening night? And we should note here the starters, Fred Hoiberg, was asked about them, and he initially responded by saying, I don't know who would start if the season opened tomorrow.
Besides,
with the first
he
game.
Said that Robin Lopez is going
to
start at center.
Then he went on
center.
To say Robin Lopez will start at center, and the other four spots are an open competition.
But I mean, okay, we can pretty much pencil in Chris Dunn as a starting point guard because he's one of the guys from the Jimmy Butler trade. It's not like Jerry and Grant has done anything to really change that. So we can pencil in Dunn, probably. I think Denzel Valentine and Paul Zipser are going
to
be the starting
ones. I think it might have to be Valentine in the starting lineup just for the fact that he probably can make more plays offensively than Justin Holiday and Paul Zipser. And the Bulls have no one on opening night right now, hardly, to make plays. Like, Nico will probably start at power forward. I would think he'd win the competition.
I would think so, too.
Out of training camp.
And by the way,
he's not a playmaker. He's not a playmaker. Who's making these plays for the Bulls on opening night? I don't know. Their offense could struggle.
Denzel might be like the de facto point guard.
I mean, it'd probably just be poetic if it was like 122-84 on opening night at this point, so we can just still have the argument going on both ends of the spectrum. But
absolutely.
What was your Nico point? I guess
we just want to housekeeping thing. He didn't talk today because he hasn't officially signed his contract. We're gonna hear from him tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a bunch of administrative stuff.
Yeah,
basically. So Nico is on the Bulls. He was not expected to miss any practice or anything.
Well, no, he's gonna get to the facility tomorrow, sign his contract, and then he'll be good to practice.
Yeah. So he just didn't get in the hype videos, though, which, I mean, that's a little concerning.
I'll bet they can get the cameras set back up at some point to get him back in.
That's true.
Get that in.
That's true. One point that John Paxson made that was interesting was, this is paraphrasing, but he was asked about the trust. How do you regain the trust of fans when what you did last year was more or less an abject disaster as far as paying Dwayne Wade $39 million to play 60 games for the
Bulls. And that's
Bulls
essentially what it boils down to.
In his tenure, in which you're a 500 basketball
That's team. Essentially what it boils down to, because he signed a $47 million contract. He gave back 8.5 or so.
Basically, how do you have Jimmy Butler at the height of his powers and not build anything more than an 8 or 9 seed? How do you regain the fans' trust? And part of his answer, after saying things like ownership's great and Gar and I are confident, is, you know, he kind of flexed a little bit and he's like, we have great confidence we can do this. You know, I took over in 2003 when Gar was here too in the organization still, and we rebuilt that then.
They rebuilt
that.
They rebuilt that, by the way, because they had a 1.6% chance of getting the Derrick Rose pick.
See, that's not correct, though, completely. I mean, they were already a 47-win team with Heinrich and Deng involved in that, with Joakim Noah the year before Derrick Rose. I don't know exactly what year the Bulls were that 47-win team, but like they had the foundation. When you're talking about rebuild it into a championship contender, absolutely, the luck component with Derrick Rose is everything in that one. But like they rebuilt it into something, a playoff team,
right?
Without that luck. So I don't think a 47-win ceiling is ever the purpose of any rebuild. You know what I mean? So like they have to either A, get lucky, or prove that they can, over these next several years, hit all the right buttons, make all the right draft picks, and sign players and trade players in an in-depth manner. But, like, Pax basically said, I'm one for one in rebuilding in my life, so come get me, you know what I mean? Which, I mean, they seem at ease with... Would you agree they seem at ease with the decision to rebuild?
Yeah, and somebody asked them, like, I don't know if it was you or it was somebody, but somebody asked them at one point when there was the three of them up there that... you know, whether, you know, based on, you know, all these other stars going west and all this other, you know, these teams conglomerating with, you know, all this other stuff, do they regret maybe rebuilding now as opposed to maybe holding on to Jimmy and trying to make a run now that the East is weaker? They seem like they don't really regret doing this when they did it.
No. And look, I'll say this. Fred's happier. Okay? Like, it's more of a relief for him to have players that his voice can carry and reach instead of dealing with the alpha dog players and drama that may come with balancing the win now mode.
Well, there's no egos to deal with this year.
Exactly.
Like, all of these guys, like,
it's impossible to have an ego at this age when you've proved nothing.
Like, Zach LaVine seems like a pretty confident guy, but he's not the kind of guy that I get the impression is going to be hard to coach.
No. And look, like, this, you can sign Zach LaVine to a 4-year, $80 or $100 million contract, and he can start averaging 25 points per game, and he could certainly turn in to Jimmy Butler and be a little more abrasive and carry himself in a different manner. That's what happens with money and stardom in the big city spotlight in the NBA. But for now, like,
I'm not worried about
learning and teaching parts easier for the coaches.
I'm not worried about Chris Dunn being hard to coach. I'm not worried about Lauri Markkanen being hard to coach. I'm not worried about who else, Justin Holiday or whoever being hard to coach, Bobby Portis. Like, these guys, the younger guys, like, obviously, last year was its own thing with the Rondo, Wade, Butler stuff, with, you know, Hoiberg not really having a voice. But, like, these younger guys, now that there's not really, like, these star veterans on the team, they're going to be a lot. And especially this team is, like, picked to be one of the worst teams in the league, you know, just generally speaking. These guys, I think, are going to be a little bit more willing to listen to coaching. They all know, like, we aren't expected to make the playoffs. We have to work hard every day and get better. And I think it's going to be a little bit more of an easy thing for Fred.
Like, look, we were talking, we opened this up with, like, there was no huge storyline coming out of this. Not that we expected it, but
no.
I guess, like, a subplot that I didn't write about yet, at least, and, like, we've written about this before, I think both of us, in the aftermath of the Jimmy Butler trade in some form. But worth mentioning is, like, today was, like, a day Fred Hoiberg survived. Like, he outlasted Jimmy Butler. Like, Fred Hoiberg and the Bulls' best player didn't see eye to eye enough. Couldn't make it work the fundamental styles of what they envisioned basketball stylistically. And Fred Hoiberg, a coach, outlasts a star. That doesn't happen very often in the NBA.
Like, unless you're a coach of the caliber of, like, Greg Popovich or Phil Jackson or somebody of that
level. In which case, you probably don't have the problem in the first place with the players because you're winning at a higher clip. So, like, it was kind of just a day to note Fred's survivorship of front office and ownership still really believes in him. You know what I mean? Like,
the Ames Mafia
still runs
strong.
Said they're committed. Gar and went out of his, I mean, just didn't deviate, but made sure to mention the confidence they had in him. And, like,
I think
they're blowing some smoke, though. Like, okay, cut time out. They're blowing some smoke here. Like, this idea of the culture they established this summer being, like, the greatest culture we've ever seen in modern basketball history. What, in one year and out the other? Get out of here. Like, I want to see the culture on the floor in a game.
I think that's a direct response to Travell Gaines' tweet from the night of the trade saying the Bulls have the worst culture in the NBA.
Yeah, and it should be noted that Travell Gaines, the other day after, I think I saw this later, after Dwayne Wade got bought out, tweeted something along the lines of, like, money can't buy you happiness. Like, from afar, Jimmy Butler's trainer is still just piling on the Bulls.
Taking shots.
Every shot he can. And, like, I don't know what the culture is. Fred's like, we've had 16 guys here since Labor Day. I'm like, Labor Day was, like, 3 weeks ago. Like, it's, they did point out they were so proud of Nico for being in Chicago this summer, which again is weird to me because he previously played for the national team and they thought that was somehow a hindrance to his development. Like, Lauri Markkanen just played for the national team to great returns.
Right, that's the
games.
Thing. They were talking about how great Markkanen was with the national team this summer. And, you know, Jimmy Butler won a gold medal with Team USA last summer, and then he had the best year of his career.
Yeah, they must think that somehow Nico or the Spanish national team coaching and their trainers were, like, wayward or something in
that
direction. So, apparently, again, I didn't physically see Nico today, but he's bulked up a bunch, according to people around.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Like, I don't know if he's just going to be coming here, like, benching 515 pounds or what, but he's made a point to bulk up, which is probably helpful because he gets pushed around inside. Sometimes he can be a better rebounder and better defender if he's stronger. You know, like, I mean, he moves pretty well for a power forward.
Right.
So what else did we have coming out of this day, Sean?
Oh, back to Levine for a second. Yeah. We talked about the injury, but then the extension stuff came up. It sounds like nobody's really too stressed out about getting an extension done by the deadline of October 15th or 16th.
Yeah, so Gar and Zach both said that each side knows exactly how much he means the future. You don't trade him for trade Jimmy Butler for him and then not re-sign him. So the Bulls will re-sign him to a long-term deal, and I would lean toward, actually, if I had to guess, the extension will get done.
You do?
Before October 16th.
See, I kind of took all this to mean the other way. I feel like Zach LaVine knows that the Bulls aren't going to let him walk,
yeah,
and so he's willing to bet on himself that he's going to play his way into a max deal next summer. I mean, I could see it going either way, but the impression that I got from today, and this is just me reading the tea leaves, I don't obviously have any inside information on this, but I don't think either side is really too pressed to get a deal done before October deadline.
Okay. I just, like, we disagree on something. If I had to lean, like, I just feel like he knows what he means, and I think the Bulls would make him a fair offer. It's really in his court, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because there really isn't a point for them to offer a max deal yet. The point now would be for them to save a little bit
right.
of money.
If he's willing to take a little bit less money in exchange for the years.
The other part that is complicating this is his contract with Nike's up at the end of September,
mm-hmm.
and he's taking suitors for which brand he's going to endorse next, which I'm not sure all the power players, Adidas, I'm sure, and Under Armour would be involved.
Big Baller Brand.
I don't know. He did not mention Big Baller Brand specifically or any competitors specifically, but maybe he wants to handle that and not have two contract negotiations on his plate at the same time. So that would probably point a little more toward your direction.
Are you going to buy the Air Levines?
I'm not going to buy the Air Levines, are you?
No.
Okay. I wouldn't be able to jump as high as him.
Wearing the shoes of a player, it's like an ethical journalistic thing. Wearing shoes of a player that
I
cover.
If
it
promised I could dunk if I wore him, I would do it. But I'm like still 2 feet short.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it's probably only going to give me an extra foot or whatever getting up to the rim. So,
like, I was always kind of uncomfortable when I would see, you know, reporters, not any of the main beat, but guys, but like I'd see media people like coming into locker rooms like wearing D Rose shoes while like I've always like I wear Jordans, but like I'm never going to cover a team that Michael Jordan plays for. So like,
well, you cover teams that he owns. Hornets.
That's true.
They visited the United States.
That is true.
What we should have done for Zach LaVine, instead of asking these questions about how bad the Bulls are going to be and how you, like, deal with that, is be like, so, Zach, I know you're not going to answer this, but I'm just going to read your facial expressions. So, 4 years and $84 million, does that get the deal done? See what he does? And just keep upticking. How about 4 years, $108 million? And then when he smiles wide, be like, he's walking into negotiations looking for $28 million a year or whatever, something like that. What will he be eligible for 25% of the salary cap, correct? If I'm thinking under,
yeah, because so, it's 25 for the rookie max,
so
30
be,
for the regular max, 35
so
for the super
it would
max.
Be a starting salary of 24 million ish, 24
something like
point,
that
8 million ish probably year one. So the question is, how much would the Bulls be willing, like, what's the starting point for, I mean, is 4 and 80 going to get it done by October 16th?
If he would take that, I would do that in a heartbeat if I was the Bulls. Just because that's such a, like, you're taking the gamble of, okay, what if he plays himself into a max deal, then you have him on a bargain.
Yeah, and his gamble next summer is the fact, and here's why me saying prior to October 16th, if we're holding a scorecard here, would be one in my direction, is that only, like, 5 teams are going to have legitimate
right.
lots of cap space. And we know there's going to be much bigger free agent names. And these teams chasing some of these other stars probably aren't going to waste their time making an offer sheet and waiting 3 days for Zach LaVine
right.
and the Bulls to respond next year. So, like, it's kind of like the Nico card here in restricted free agency. He wanted someone to come on with a huge offer, and then Chicago to match, so we got the money in the
and
place.
And that offer
just
wasn't
be,
there for him.
And it wasn't there. So, like, I mean, if Zach LaVine thinks that 4 and 84, 4 and 88 or something works, that might be a reason to get it done prior to then. So we'll ask him closer to the date, but he did confirm negotiations are already underway in the preliminary stages, and they seem to be going well. They did touch on Dwayne Wade's buyout a little bit.
They kind of said what you'd expect, that he was professional. They respected that he, you know.
The Bulls were so happy that Dwayne Wade spent a year with them. They couldn't have been happier.
Those jersey sales, those ticket sales.
It's the public line they're going
absolutely
with here. I think we touched on this in the podcast
the previous
night, but it made all the sense in the world pretty much for both sides. And once Wade expressed a willingness to work a little bit.
Give some money back.
Yeah, and also, like, again, we got to confirm this. We didn't get it confirmed in the mayhem. We will, but I would think the Bulls will operate under the cap when push comes to shove, unless they have.
I saw some tweets, because after the guard packs and Hoiberg talked to us, they went around and did like
TV hits,
radio hits. I think I saw some tweet that basically that Pax must have said on one of those TV hits that they are operating under the cap, which I think makes sense, because now that they did the Wade buyout, they have about $16 million under the cap, whereas if they were over the cap, they only have about $11.5 million left of the Jimmy trade exception. So now they have a much more flexibility to take on a contract and get a pick or an asset or something.
So they took the Quincy Pondexter deal into the Jimmy trade exception, didn't they? So does that have, can that stay in the Jimmy trade exception, or does that now shift into their cap space?
Well, if they're it can shift into their cap space. Now the money they have on the books is the money they have on the books. If they're operating below the cap, they have about $82 million on the books after the Wade buyout and after the Nico deal, give or take like the exact numbers of those. And so the salary cap is 99. So they have about between $16 and $17 million to work with, as opposed to 11.5 with the Jimmy exception. So it makes more sense for them to operate under the cap.
Just another asset from the Jimmy trade gone, vanquished, like those second round picks that always just fly off the shelves of the Bulls, basically.
Absolutely. So a few more things. So you mentioned Quincy Pondexter briefly. We should point
out. He's going to be on the team.
He's on the team
for next year.
He's going to be on the team.
This year.
He's going to be on the team, and it sounds like he's going to be able to practice for the most part. He has been playing pickup games. He doesn't have any limitations. It's worth noting he's missed the last two entire seasons with knee issues.
Yeah, serious knee issues.
If he's healthy.
Like, I mean, look, we said he was a candidate to be waived previously.
I don't.
And he still could be moving forward, but like they still need players, and if he's on these minor minimum deals and you're under the cap, you can just roll with him. You know what I mean?
He's also a great locker room guy in terms of like being.
They said his leadership was, quote, off the charts.
Did you read the Chris Haynes story?
I did not read it.
It was really good. You should read it. It's basically about how like even like he had the knee stuff that everybody knew about, but he also had some skin infection during that time. And he literally almost died.
Far more.
Like the health, health stuff was more serious than people thought. And so it was kind of a cool comeback story. And, you know, I mean, he seems like a good guy. I didn't really get a chance to talk to him today, but, you know, he seems like a good guy. And you can't, when you're doing a rebuild like this, this is the point that I've made about Robin Lopez when we talk about trading him, you can't have zero veterans on the roster. So if Quincy Pondexter is able to play and give them a few minutes to fill up minutes, and, you know, he can be like a good locker room guy and a good leader, like, I think he's worth keeping around.
Yeah. Can I note that the Bulls don't have a leader? They don't have a single leader yet on this team. Like, I think maybe more than anything this year, besides the player development, the biggest storyline to watch will be who emerges as a voice among the players in the locker room.
And who's your pick?
I think Chris Dunn will carry a large voice if he plays well. I don't know if he'll play well, though. He seems to be very well thought out individual.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's willing to like take accountability when he basically says, I was bad at shooting last year. It was in some ways a disaster of a season on the offensive end. I don't think he's used disaster as a word, but he certainly said he didn't play well at all offensively. And just naturally being a point guard, like I think if he plays well, he'll be that person. And look, LaVine could be that too. I bet they would love for
him. But that's not going to happen until after he's cleared to play and, you know, starts.
Yeah, I just think, like, I mean, Chris Dunn seems like a well thought out dude who's chill too and can get along with everyone. And is this like the effort will be there.
Is this the year Bobby Portis takes that leap? Because Zach LaVine talked about how Bobby's been very vocal during these pickup games and he's a guy that he's been impressed by. Maybe this is the year he takes that leap forward. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here because who else?
I don't think that's him.
Right. No, I kind of tend to agree. I'm just spitballing because there's no other obvious candidates. Robert Lopez is more of like a low-key, quiet, goofy guy. He's the biggest veteran
by seasons. And like Justin Holiday will be counted on for that, and he'll be in the rotation.
Nico hasn't been consistent enough to be that guy. Like, he doesn't have the...
Certainly. And look, like, Nico's probably taken comments and just his play too harshly in the mm-hmm. past to be that... person to be the team leader.
Maybe Markkanen? Do we think, after the Eurobasket?
He's 20. Lauri Markkanen, asked about acclimating to the city, what he's seen in sights. He was very good, but, like...
He's not here for sightseeing.
Like, this reminded me of how young he is and why he's probably not quite a leader yet, and also being in America in a new city and learning some new things still. He said he's visited the Bean... and, like, saw his reflection in it.
Yeah.
That's about it. He's not here for sightseeing. He's here to work, he said.
That's like Chicago tourist stuff 101. My parents were here last week. My mom had never been to Chicago before.
We did that.
Couple more things from Media Day. One serious one, not really serious. The not serious one first. Cameron Payne rolled in, literally, on a one-legged scooter... With the black and red and white Jordan 1 on his other foot.
Like, was it one where, like, you put your leg on
one
side of the scooter?
Yeah, it was one of those, and then you could walk with the other one, because he just had surgery on his foot about a month ago.
I missed that. I think Cameron Payne will be out till at least late December or something.
I don't think he's ever going to play.
I don't trust that original timeline whatsoever.
And so then a little bit more of a serious one, just obviously given what's going on right now across the sports landscape, a few different people were asked about, like, the protests that are going on and, in the NFL and, like, some comments that LeBron James have made. This stuff is all kind of out there. John Paxson was, addressed it from the management/coaching standpoint, and he said that the team is going to have a meeting and talk about it, and they want to hear out what the players have to say about it before they make a decision. Zach LaVine basically said that they don't like what the president has said about athletes protesting, and they are going to want to do something. Chris Dunn, interestingly, kind of went the other way and said that because he has a friend that's in the military, he always has believed in standing for the national anthem.
He pretty much made clear that he will continue to stand for the national anthem.
I mean, that's entirely his prerogative to do that, if that's what it means to him. Like, this is the one area where I'm a little bit disappointed that Dwayne Wade got bought out, because he would have had thoughts, because he obviously has been very outspoken. Like, the whole Banana Boat crew did that PSA at the ESPYs a couple years ago. And, obviously Wade is tight with LeBron, who has been extremely outspoken about the things that are going on and Trump and stuff, like, in the last couple of days. I haven't watched LeBron's press conference today from Media Day, but apparently he, like, went in on Trump even more so than that tweet he had the other day. Robin Lopez, you see Lopez's tweet the other day about this?
He mentioned something that he didn't expect Trump to be president.
What he said, because after the Warriors White House invite,
he basically
tweeted, "It's okay, Warriors. Trump isn't going to be allowed in the White House in a few months either."
The Warriors have a burgeoning dynasty here. They're going to have other invitations down the line, or chances to go to the White House, probably in the future, but we're early in the Trump administration and early in the Warriors
dynasty. I don't think the Bulls are going to be going to the White House anytime soon.
Yeah, the Bulls can worry about... That was another thing. This is another minor note.
Gar and Fred both just wanted no part of that question whatsoever.
Yeah, so Gar... It was pointed out that Gar... previously, in explaining rebuilds, had said the danger of embarking on one is that it can take 6 or 7 years.
And this was so
and
much
it was
this
pointed
was so
out. Who asked the question? Was it
Greenberg?
It might have been
it was somebody.
Greenberg.
My old boss, John Greenberg.
He said, "You said it's 6 or 7 years." And like Gar, when he was done with the question, clarified. He said, "I said it could take 6 or 7 years."
Right.
Which we would have to go back and find audio of the exact moment. But you know what? It's more fun to not do that and just imagine what might have or might not have been the exact wording of questions and comments previously, but certainly the Bulls, they were asked about the 2018 draft being really important. They acknowledged it's really important. I really kind of wanted the first question of the of availability on media day to be, so are you leaning towards Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter, or Luka Doncic?
Well, we did address that. And Gar basically said we're not allowed to scout high school
games.
But
that would have just been an epic first question. Like, it would have been like a premeditated, calculated, inauthentic reason to go viral. You know what I mean?
Right.
First question at the press conference. But it would have been great if that had been it.
By the way, shout out to Ricky. Did you see Ricky's tweet?
He was not allowed at Bulls.
He was not allowed at media. A friend of the program, Ricky O'Donnell, has been very critical of the Bulls the last several years. In the past, he's been allowed at media day. This time, he wasn't. We just want to give a shout out to Ricky. Hashtag free Ricky. Hashtag we're with Ricky.
There will always be space on the internet for Ricky to write and bring his fire. So I guess that's what comforts me.
Yeah.
In this whole situation with no Ricky today, I do think we hit on everything we needed to hit on. I don't think we forgot anything.
No.
And if we did, there will be many a practices coming up to talk about it. Niko Mirotić is expected to address re-signing with the Bulls on Tuesday at some point.
Yeah. So we'll have an episode after that,
the Bulls practice. They got 2 days Tuesday. I think they got 2 days Wednesday, Thursday. They're basically scheduled for 2 days every single day for like a week until Fred cancels the second session on like day two. But there we go.
Let's find
no
out.
No Jimmy, no D-Wade. No, Rondo, maybe they just keep doing two-a-days because they're young and athletic and can handle it and no one's complaining.
That is a very strong possibility. They're also, you know, it's not like they need to preserve any energy for the playoffs because the team is not going to make the playoffs.
At some point this week, probably both predictions will have to go on, will also have to go on record with their record.
Yeah,
you know,
so
I mean, or maybe we do that before the season opener, but
start getting them in. We
should be in the works here. Oh yeah, we want
last year's. Last year we did
your five boldest.
Last year we did five. You did five. I did five. And then we took five listener ones. So if you want to email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com or tweet us at lockedonbulls, we'll take those, save them up, pick the five best ones.
Dude, we need your boldest, hottest predictions pertaining to the Bulls in some format for the 2017-18. NBA season. As always, you can follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westerlund. As he mentioned, we have Twitter and Facebook by the name Locked On Bulls, and we're at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever else you find podcasts, you know the drill by now. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Reviews and ratings always help. 5 stars. But only give us 5 stars. Don't give us anything below 5 stars, please. If you're going to give us not 5 stars, just don't leave a review. So only 5 stars. And then, you know, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network all around the NBA. Media Day was today. So, you know, any storylines you want to catch up on from the local angle, you should check up on. NFL's in full swing. So any of those podcasts you want, check those out. Locked On Podcast Network has something for everybody. We will be back with you guys later this week. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.